welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's defeat at Montrose, preview this Saturday's home clash with Airdrie, and we'll also hear from manager Jim McAnally and keeper Brett Long. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. Schools are back. We're all happy.
Yeah, everybody will be happy, all the parents will be.
It's been a long 7 weeks. 7 weeks and one day, shall we, just to be exact.
Yeah, that you're counting.
No, it's high time they were back. But to be fair, the kids were looking forward to getting back as well. So 7 weeks is way too long for them to be off. Especially in these times when there's 90 day.
As I think with everything that happened last year as well, schools were on, some of them were off, and then the COVID outbreaks as well. Hopefully we'll get back to almost a normal year for all the kids throughout the country.
A normal routine, yeah. Let's hope so. We seem to be edging that way, but let's not count our chickens too hastily yet.
Aye, exactly. It can have changed, but fingers crossed it's on the upward trend.
Right, so let's get dived straight into it then. We'll touch on the debacle of the Dundee B game for last Wednesday. Do you want to start or do you want me to go?
it's a bit of a farce, is it? Yeah, I mentioned on social media on my own page and the Tuesday that it's Dundee players on loan to Peterhead playing for Dundee in a competitive game against Peterhead who get injured playing against Peterhead. I struggle to find any other league, any other competition in the world that has such rules. You could say it's really bad luck that Dundee and Peterhead drew each other, but you know that's not the point. That rule should never really, in my opinion, be there. They're either on loan to that club or they're not. As it transpired, we got through, but we're also without two of the players for the next round.
They're
cup tied, so yeah, it's a bit of a nonsense sort of his situation. But probably worse the fact that we've got an injury as well. I think it was bad enough to play against Peterhead, but the fact that we picked up an injury as well, it just sort of puts ice on top of the cake. And very frustrating the way everything panned out.
So we'll kind of look at what we know as to being how it went then. So originally the tie was going to be Tuesday the 10th, and there was a 7 o'clock kickoff had been agreed as well. Peter had agreed to that. That was Dundee had asked for a 7 o'clock. So we believe that the players had been asked if they were able to get there in time for a 7 o'clock and then agreed to that. It was then moved to the Wednesday. Now, whether or not it was Dundee who's changed it to the Wednesday or the SPFL or a combination of both and then changed it to 4-4 as well. This is where it gets a bit kind of muddy waters, shall we say. Peterhead's already been asked to do one thing. They've now been asked to do another. In return, Peterhead have asked Dundee to play only one of the three loan players. Dundee have went ahead and played all three. So, again, it just kind of smacks of the lack of or the contempt that the SPFL and Dundee or the Premier League kind of clubs have for the lower league sides.
I sure have thought there's a bit of beef between the Dundee hierarchy or not, but I'm pretty sure that when the Lyle Cameron talk of him coming back for the restart in March, there was a bit of dragging their heels on the Dundee side as well. When we spoke to somebody at the club, that was mentioned that they were waiting for an answer, but you know, somebody in Dundee would never, you know, get back to them. So then I can, if there's a wee bit of niggle there or not, but if it was asked that one player to play and all three played, I guess Dundee's within their right. It's their player. If they are allowed to play, then they can. But again, I just didn't agree with it. The fact they're on loan at Peterhead, they should be either playing for Peterhead or they shouldn't be playing for Dundee. It's just, yeah, it's to me, it's a messy situation all around. I don't think there was ever going to be a winner for it because we've gone through and then the players kind of play that was on loan from Dundee and had Dundee gone through, then, you know, our players could be playing Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, but playing on the Wednesday in the cup for Dundee, it doesn't sit right with me, but it is what it is. Unfortunately, we've picked up injuries as well.
The other thing as well is Peter, he's playing their wages while they're playing for Dundee. So that's a whole week's wages that Peter he'd have lost. Because they've been obviously training with Dundee and then playing on the Wednesday. It'll be the same again when, or obviously, when we play the next round. That's another week's wages where that's going to be wasted, because then they're going to be cup tied. Now, you could understand Peter Hayes' kind of point of view of wages and things like that at this time of the climate, I should say. If a player had gotten suspended for being sent off or something like that, oh, then fair enough, that's fine. He still gets his wages, maybe fine him or whatever. But to be taken out of their hands like that is just... There's something in the background which we obviously won't know, but it just, yeah, it's a bit of a messy kind of situation.
Yeah, like I touched on the Lyle Carman situation, and then obviously if one player was asked to play and they've played all three, it just seems there's a little bit of something in the background. Whatever it is, God knows, but you know, you're always playing with players' futures. I mean, these guys are 18, 19, 20. Whether there's something is going on at the clubs, leave it at boardroom level or manager level, then I'm taking it out on the players and make them play games. And now they've gotten through in the cup and they kind of play in the next round. You know, players want to play games, want to play in competitions. Yeah, it's a bit frustrating. We could go into it a wee bit further and a wee bit deeper, but it's overall a bit disappointing situation.
If you remember, when we spoke to Lyle after the first game, he was over the moon to be back playing again, because when he went back after the suspension of the league, I think he only made one substitute appearance for Dundee. So it wasn't though they were bringing him back to play him, they just brought him back.
Yeah, I think initially we were told that Dundee wanted to keep Lyle in March because they wanted to, quote, take a closer look. But I think in the first four games he only made about 22 minutes of an appearance, and that was in the third game as a sub.
Something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously I haven't taken that much of a look if it's only 22 minutes with it over four games. But, it's disappointing.
And just to kind of clarify as well, yeah, we did get through after all that. a couple of goals for Nia Payne, which is good to see. Brett Long played up front as well at one point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just chuck that in. It's a winner, Davy Nixon, to come off the bench as well, just to kind of really throw things in. But we're hoping to East Fife in the next round, 2 weeks on Saturday. So that's another kind of, it's probably a good one for the club as well, because it's home. You know, the attendances should be higher as well, so it'd be a good one for them to get the extra revenue.
It's one of them situations you'd have your football manager say, visit, you've made enough players on the bench, so you put your goalkeeper up front just to be at a nuisance. I did like Jim coming out afterwards and clarification on why Brett Long did play. I think there's quite a few reports going around the social media, his discontent with the cup competitions or whatever it was, but when you've got three of your players registered to the club playing against you, it makes it difficult to have a full commitment of players on the bench. So, you know, rather than playing with 10 men, then you'd be a goalkeeper going up front to be a nuisance, then so be it. A goalkeeper playing up front and three players playing against you who are registered to you, it could only be Scottish football, could it really?
Yeah, well, that's the Colts for you then. It's a whole messy situation. We think we've kind of clarified it somewhat, but with what we know, but we probably won't know the full extent to the ways and means of it. But
as you did say, Nia Payne scored a double, so we should give him credit there as well. As much as there's a bit of beef with things behind the scenes, it was good to see Nia continue to be performing for the week before and scoring a goal. We did say in the commentary a couple of weeks back, it might just take Nia Payne just to get that first goal and get off the mark for this season. He might get a few more. So, yeah, he's done really well, Nia.
Yep, so long may that one continue then. So on to last Saturday's game down at Montrose. Again, attendances were allowed back, and again, home fans and away fans. It was good to see both sets in. As you would have expected, there was a few changes from the game from the Wednesday, purely because the players that were coming back in. Lenny Wilson, Kesson, Jordan Brown, Mushanu and Lyle. Derek Lyle, I should say, all dropped out. Brett Long came back in goals. Danny Strachan played again, which was good to see. Mulligan, McCarthy and McLean were the other changes as well. So it was good to kind of see the changes. And for me, it was good to see Danny Strachan back in, playing at right back as well.
Yeah, I think changes was almost inevitable, I think, for the cup game, and then sort of reverting back to what would more be a natural first 11. Yeah, good to see Danny back. We were We were keen when we spoke to him at the end of the season that he would come back, and I think I was one of them was a slow burner, waiting to see what was happening at Dundee and whatnot. So yeah, good to see him back in the lineup on Saturday as well.
The only kind of question about the tactics was it more looked like a 4-5-1 or a 4-2-3-1. Naya Payne was certainly playing more off the left than he was what he had been playing up top with McLean. Was that we kind of touched on it last week when we spoke about the Falkirk game. Is that again maybe just going away from home and being a little bit too cautious?
Perhaps, you know, looking at the game, I think Montrose are a lot on the ball, and they've got to good areas against us. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. We mentioned that last week. I'm not quite sure the formation suited. I've got to be honest, I did feel that there was quite a big gap between the midfield and defence. A lot of the key moments in the game sort of came from Montrose attacking, but through the middle. And then playing the ball sort of wide on the edge of the box and then getting a shot off the target. So, potentially maybe the formation was wrong, but again, it's one of them that they played on the Tuesday night. So, the Wednesday, sorry, a couple of games in a short period of time. Perhaps looking back, maybe the wrong thing to change the formation.
We should say as well, it was the third away game in a week. Obviously, away to Falkirk, then yeah, away to Dundee B or at Forfar, and then away to Montrose. It's difficult games, all on AstroTurf as well. So there's maybe that in it as well. And having not trained through the week either because of that game on the Wednesday, it was all kind of going against us slightly. But I would say as well, it was maybe my fault as well because I did jinx it, because remember last week I mentioned all the 4-3s, the 3-2s. So maybe
it's closer. I might say it would be goalless. I was closer.
Aye, so yeah, maybe had that as well. Yeah,
I just think it performance. They did get players out, I think, but it just seemed a little bit flat in periods of the game. Yeah. It almost seemed like they were going through the motions. And I agree with what you're saying. It's three games in a week. It's three away games. Just seemed a little bit flat for whatever reason. It's maybe just one of them games that, you know, a few players had a below par performance, and when you mix it together with the rest of the guys, it is a poorer performance. But Montrose has always been a tricky place for us to go and get a result, and that proved to be the case on Saturday.
It was pretty much one-way traffic in the first half. I think there was one effort from Naya Payne when he cut on from the left and shot wide. But for the most part, it was all going towards Brett Long. And even if when the ball was getting cleared, it was coming back pretty quick.
Yeah, I think the only chance I can remember off the top of my head is the Naya Payne one. I think Russell McLean had like a header as a half chance, and then you'd Andy McCarthy for trying to beat like the whole Montrose team, and then in the end
it didn't become anything.
Yeah, exactly. You're not too far forward. He's used to playing at right back these days. you mentioned a couple of weeks ago about Brett Long and his shot stopping, and he's faced a lot of shots in his, you know, last couple of weeks, and he's been a lot of good saves at key points as well. I need to be sharp on Saturday, especially as you said in the first half, a lot of throws having the ball and coming at us. He did well for the most part of it.
I think as well that because they didn't play through the midweek as well, whereas we did, and because the previous game they were 2-0 up against Clyde, if you remember, and then threw it away in the last 5 minutes, there perhaps was maybe a bit more kind of. They were a bit maybe ready for that. They wanted to show a bit more effort and complacency this time round.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think the manager would have gotten stuck into them, especially being 2-0 up at home and not getting anything for the game in the last 5 minutes. So it was probably a kick in the teeth. It was probably the worst thing that could have happened to us in a sense, because you knew that they were going to come out and attack. As I said, I thought we were flat. I don't know why I can't think on it, but. It's maybe just one of them things, rotation as well over the period of the week. Could be a number of factors, but it doesn't excuse. You know, it's every game in this division's got to be tough. You know, you got to get a free pass in any of them. So you need to be all right for the word going. I do think that had we gotten anything from the game, it would have probably been unjust. I think even a draw would have been lucky to come away with. I think maybe Jim said that in his post-match. I don't know, we'll come to that. But yeah, it was a disappointing performance from us. It's something we didn't often see, thankfully, but it's something that you didn't want creeping in either.
The penalty then, which was the difference maker, again, first of all, do you think it was a penalty, having seen it?
soft, very soft, bordering on no. but I'll flip it. If that's Naya Payne in the box and he's gone down and screaming for that for a penalty.
It's interesting.
I think if you're given quite a lot of penalty shouts, he's it.
Aye.
That's my argument, and you're looking for consistency. So
I would say, I mean, I've seen it, and I've seen it so many times that if you just kind of really, you kind of say concretely, it was definitely a penalty. That's what I'm saying. There was a little bit of a nick. It was accidental. However, I do think the reaction of the Montrose player didn't help Andy McDonald. I think if he just trips and goes down, I think it was maybe his ankle he caught or the back of his heel or something like that. It was just accidental, because you could see the way that McDonald kind of almost stumbled as well. So I don't think that the reaction of the Montrose player really helped, and I think that's possibly what kind of swayed it slightly.
I think it's fair to say that the referee knew he had fallen. It was quite theatrical, shall we say. And again, as Nate said, there's no contact, but just because there's contact, it doesn't mean there has to be a penalty. And like I said, if you're given one of them in the box as a penalty, obviously, I think you've got to be getting it quite a lot throughout the season. It's going away from goal as well. I don't know whether that's, you know, impacted the referee's decision. Well, why would he be doing it if he's going away? I don't know, but I think, as you said, you asked me the question, I'm going, it's soft, very soft, upward and no. But again, if it's opposite way and it's for us, you're probably shouting for it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that would happen maybe outside the box. Had he gone down so theatrically, would he just maybe, you know, stumbled or maybe just maybe cut his ankles and just gone, hey, we've been caught here and left, and maybe we just carried on. Just because it was inside that 18-yard box, I think it's the Montrose players, it's definitely going down far too easily for me, and he's screaming and shouting. But
the referee gave it pretty quick as well. As soon as the player hit the deck, he was quick with a whistle and the hand gesture to the penalty spot. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm assuming he had a good view for his assistant on the other side. So it didn't happen. I didn't see the flag waving.
No, I was going to say, the assistant on the far side certainly didn't the flag. Whether or not he said something in their microphone things or whatever and said, aye, penalty, but it was almost instantaneous from the referee.
Yeah, he was pretty quick to give it. I mean, I'm assuming that he, you know, the referee's meant to hear the best view on the pitch, so we'll need to take his word for it and his opinion. But yeah, again, as I said, it seemed a bit soft, and as you said, if it had been outside the box, would they have just got up and referee play on or play advantage, whatever? Yeah. It's a contentious decision, but as it proved to be the vital point in the game.
Yeah, and of course, Graham Webster again scored another penalty, which I mentioned it was about three or four now that he's gotten in the last four games against this penalties. It's quite a record.
He's a pain in the backside, is he? He's just an absolute nuisance. I said that last season about Russell McLean and we ended up getting him, so you never know. They're still, what, the best part of 10 days in the window, you never know for Graham Webster, but he's a nuisance. He counts for the goal is. He's a goal scorer. It's just frustrating the way it came about.
Yeah, it's what I'm saying. Four penalties now in four games. It's some record they've got. So that was the winner. But they did, for large periods of time after that, for about 10 minutes. I mean, they hit the bar. There was one off the line. It was, as you said earlier on, I mean, it was so such a flat performance by the boys. It just, I don't think if we would have gotten anything, we would have deserved it, as you said.
It's one of them. We lost 3-4-0. You couldn't have really argue with it. Montrose were by far the better team. The frustrating thing is probably the way the goal came, the penalty that seems a bit soft from our point of view. But the whole game, it just seemed flat from our point of view. And I've got to say, any time Montrose did come forward, there was an attack. The intent and the tempo that they had looked good. They looked dangerous. For us, on the other hand, didn't really be much. I mean, if we're saying that our best chances were that Russell McLean header, just inside the box, and Andy McCarthy trying to beat everybody and just, you know, getting a nosebleed at the top end of the pitches were good chances.
Yeah.
And so it tells you how poor we were on the day.
Yeah, and later on, Naya Payne had an effort which was well saved as well, which, again, if that had gone in, would have been absolutely going ballistic. But it probably, as was said, It was probably what we deserved, as in we didn't deserve anything.
Yeah, we kind of sugarcoat it. It wasn't a good performance. Again, we're only three games in. We beat Alloa, and you know, things were looking good. Tough game against Falkirk, but then I think the way the performance went on Saturday, it's maybe just a little kick that the players need early on, just saying, okay, we're all beaters by any stretch of the imagination, and you know, just get that refocus. So they've had a week off where we played Airdrie on Saturday, so and they haven't started well either. So it's maybe just a marker to reset and go again.
Right, so we'll now hear from the manager, Jim Martinelli, what his thoughts were. So I asked him basically what his thoughts on the game was.
It was a game where we never made enough chances. We never got enough balls into their box. And basically, you know, I think generally as a team, we just struggled a wee bit. Again, I mean, they're a good side, sweet white side, and I thought they just probably bullied us a wee bit, you know, as well as a wee bit too much know-how for us, which would disappoint. But, you know, when I analyse stuff at the end of the week, and, you know, I speak to Hoggy, and we look at the, you know, with the boys that get the pods in, and we look at, you know, they were real good, and they're, and they're running this team, stuff like that, you know. So, you look at it in some ways where, you know, I don't want to make excuses for them, but when we see away games, I mean, the away games in Arsenal Cup, which isn't any good for anybody really, you know. So, like I said, Jason Brown, he was really tight, took him off, he really tightened up. You know, just, it might have been an excuse to have them, but, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't deserve it in the game, you know, and we can't afford, you know, a kind of a talisman, not to be playing well at the same time, and that's basically what happens, you know. So you can't win a couple of matches if I'm not like it, you know.
If you look at it, I think it was Falkirk away and then Montrose away, two sides you probably expect to be up at the top there. So was that proved to be the difference? It was just two sides that were better?
In the Falkirk game, I thought we had a better final ball. We would have maybe scored another couple of goals or whatever. But I didn't think that would start. I mean, I know you're playing two teams that are expected to be up there, you know what I mean? But I guess they'll disappoint you that they lose the games, you know. That's disappointing, you know what I mean? But you know, I do think Wednesday night, a lot of people used to have played 9 minutes on Wednesday night, and that's why we don't play Wednesdays, because it's a better recovery for a Tuesday or Saturday than this for a Wednesday. But again, you know, that's not making excuses for, you know, boys making their own decisions to be in a good position and stuff like that. You know, and generally, you know, no playing well, but I don't accept the fact that, you know, it's two teams that you expect to lose to, because I think one of the we've already shown that we can compete with teams where they're on before us, is that, you know, we're probably looking at a wee bit, maybe National Plus pitches, we maybe need to change a wee bit, you know, maybe need to change the way we play a wee bit, maybe a wee bit more, I don't think the sense of that kind of a shape where, you know, everybody would kind of be quite attack-minded in the games, you know. So, maybe I'll be one where we change the shape a wee bit. Because, I mean, if you watch Arsenal Cup games, you know, even watching these goals and have a weakness or stuff like that, they're a great level of these pitches. And when these three come together on other days, it's a good advantage for them, you know. So, it's just something that might be able to.
The difference in the scoring was the penalty. What was your thoughts on the penalty decision?
It's, I mean, it's a penalty. it's a strange penalty as far as, you know, you would see it. You know, the boys get in the box, the two players are following the ball in the box, and he kind of ran across Andy, you know, and he obviously got his heels, you know. So, again, it'd be a bit embarrassing, the guy even missed, you know, the screen and stuff like that. But I haven't been getting complaints of the decision, he definitely caught up, you know. It's, again, it's one of these ones, you know, what is the kind of like rules as far as if it's not about it, you know what I mean? It's, you know, they want me getting in the box, and like that, they were running away from you. Mm-hmm. So, well, listen, that's, as I say, it was by the by. I mean, I think for 5 or 10 minutes before that, maybe something 10 minutes after, we had this, you know, they scored another 3 goals. And it wasn't until the last 20 minutes where we kind of picked up in the own half with it. I don't really look at my score, and I think I had the best effort this year that the goalkeeper put me in the post, but, you know, we certainly didn't get enough.
Right, you started with Donny Strachan again. What was you thinking there?
No, Danny played quite well through the week against us, and really he's got that sort of right back, but they, you know, we need to get Anthony McCarthy back in the middle of the park. And Danny, for me, Danny was I in my opinion, probably the best player. You know, so Danny played really well against the Boy Lions and say 34 and he could play him. So for playing, and I thought Danny
did,
you know, I thought he
did
really well.
So you've got Airdrie next, which will be a run, I think it's with 3 or 4 home games within a space of a short period of time. So again, Airdrie, a team that you probably expect to be up there, but are just struggling a little bit.
I think it's a tough start, you know, but they're standards. So it'll be, you know, it'll be a good game, and obviously it's your first game, you know, kind of in front of a normal type crowd, so, you know, with people getting in the terrace and stuff like that, so, be, you know, look forward to it, look forward to get back in the grass, you know, a lovely pitch, which is, you know, it's one of the things where, you know, these boys are going to play for kind of real, go turn the corner again, you know, boys like the Nation Scott Brown and, you know, Big Russell was doing it Saturday, I thought, nah, I'm still doing okay, but, you know, the guys that we need to play well for this game, to score goals, and make chances, you know, they'll just turn the corner again, it's only a matter of time before that happens, so, you know, we just need to keep the faith in them, and that's what we're all doing.
And how's Lyle and Simon? Are they going to be fit for Saturday?
Simon back in the grass. Simon's got kind of a tendonitis thing in his Achilles, which basically comes to half ground, running the roads and playing an ass and stuff like that. So he's gone. I think actually Stephen Noel was going to give some treatment this week because he's a figure and if it's up to a machine.
I think it was a bit difficult for Jimmy. He's almost kind of looking for excuses, but he knows that in his heart of hearts that the guys didn't play well and got what we deserved.
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier on, we could come up with a few excuses with the playing 3 times in a week and whatnot, but it just was a poor performance, and sometimes you just got to accept it with a bad day at the office, but you've got to use that to spur you on in your next game. You kind of sort of become complacent and think, you know, we'll pick up points after getting poor results. You've got to pick yourself up and go again. That's why I think that the start that we've got on Saturday's got to be quick. It's got to be strong. You know, and almost get in Airdrie's face, because I think that's going to be crucial throughout the game. With the tempo, as I said, I felt was flat on Saturday against Montrose, so we really need to step up in the other game.
Yep, so we'll quickly hear from goalkeeper Brett Long now as well, and asked him the same question. What was his thoughts on the game?
It's spells been going all right, obviously. It's hard, and then going away from home from that, but I still think we can improve on a few things, and once we get back to the training, I'll analyse it and see what we went wrong and improve again for next week.
There was kind of spells for it. It was almost kind of one-way traffic, and you kind of, and maybe there were maybe spells for it as well. You were kind of maybe getting a bit frustrated, and the ball was coming your way too much. Was that the case?
Well, sometimes there's games like that where it's sort of they have more of the ball, and you're sort of just sitting in the defender. I think Saturday wasn't the best of games for ourselves. I think. We weren't really at it, being better. Like, so the Alloa game where we were right at it in their faces and that, I think we need to get back to basics, back to the drawing board and try and implement those things, that, the stuff we were good at.
Was there any reason why you think the guys weren't at it?
No, I'm not saying it's particular, obviously. I'm sure they're a good side, they make it difficult, they're stuffy to play against, and we do the basics very well. I just think we weren't really at it on the day. I don't think there's a particular reason or anything to pinpoint. I think it's just one of the days we just need to pick ourselves up. As a team, we know we're good enough and we're capable of much better. So we just need to lift ourselves down, get back into training tomorrow night, analyse it where we went wrong, what we could do better, and get fully prepared for therapy on Saturday. Another massive game, especially at home. We want to make when people come up the feet ahead. It's always a difficult place to come. You want to make it difficult for teams and try and get as many points as you can at home.
What was your thought on the penalty decision? What a strange one was it?
To be fair, I thought it was a penalty, and he sort of, he didn't even mean it. You can see that at the time. He sort of sprinted out. The boys put the brakes on. He sort of just fell into the back a little bit, but. I thought it was a penalty, to be honest, but obviously I don't think Andy's went without any intention to take him down at all.
Was the reaction of the Montrose player maybe a bit over the top as well, slightly?
In this league, I think if you go down screening a wee bit or following the ball, etc., you get fouls for it. I think the boy's done well, he's played it well, so I think it was a penalty. He's played it well at the same time.
As a goalkeeper as well, do you kind of maybe look to the opposition that you're going to be playing and maybe consider who might be taking penalties? And were you aware of Graham Webster's record against Peterhead for scoring penalties in the recent games?
Well, we've done our homework. Me, Lenny and Jim, we've done our homework and seen where Webby goes. He went to the same side the previous week, but he prefers going across the goalkeeper usually, which he has done many a times, but he stuck the same way this week, and unfortunately, it's went in.
And I've got to ask you about last Wednesday as well. You ended up playing outfield. What was your kind of thoughts on that when the gym asked you to come out and play?
It's a bit strange, though. Something I'm not really used to going home as a outfielder, but Marcus of the team need a hand, and I'm able to do everything. I'll do anything to help my teammates and that. So when Jim called upon me just to go on and help out and run about and sort of be a nuisance for us, then I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Have you ever played outfield in recent years?
No, not in recent years. My younger days. It's just a wee guy, it's a point of three, but not in my recent years, no. I've not put on the outfield kit in a long time, so it's certainly different anyway, tracking winners and that. I said that after the game, I said, now I know what it feels like for you boys. I know, I was only on for 5 minutes, but now I know what it feels like for them.
You've got a bit more respect for them now, have
you? Aye, it's because fucking nippy winners and that, but no, goalkeeper's a totally different game altogether. Be totally different, so it's something that I like and I enjoy in the goals, so I enjoy working with Lenny and Jim a lot. We've got a good setup and a good group, so.
Lenny, I was going to say Lenny there, but it's Brett and Jim both saying in their interviews there that the team just weren't at it, which I guess is an honest way of putting it. They're not looking for kind of, oh well, it was a dodgy penalty decision, it cost us a game, etc, etc. They recognise that they weren't good enough, the performance wasn't good enough, and they'll hope to kind of rectify that by Saturday and perform better.
Yeah, I think it would be difficult to try and convince supporters that was not a good performance. I think they're not daft enough or naive enough to come out and say, you know, try and make excuses. The gym's been around long enough to get how it works. Like I said a few minutes ago, it's important that they use that as fuel to start the game against Airdrie well, because, you know, if you lose that one, it then becomes, you know, three league games in a bounce, and you've gone from a good start against Alloa to then it becomes a poor start because it's only 1-1-4. So you try and take the positives from every game. We were good at the back in terms of we only conceded one, Brett Long did well, but we need to be sharper at the top end of the pitch and the midfield as well. Like I said, Montrose, I felt that the gap between midfield and defence was too large. Again, maybe the team selection with formation was slightly wrong. But hindsight's a great thing, and hopefully these things will be learned for Saturday and we can get a positive result.
It's 3 points from the first three games. Now, having looked at the fixtures prior to the league kick-off, with Alloa at home, and obviously Falkirk and then Montrose away, is 3 points is a bad thing, or you know, is it something to build on more?
Good question.
Or is it because the Alloa performance was so good where expectations was raised slightly?
Yeah, but I also think where expectations have been raised by the quality of players that we've got. You know, it's quite easy to think, it was a one-off result and we got lucky on the day, but we didn't. We played really well. Okay, you could argue Alloa were below par, but you can only beat the team in front of you. It's a bit like what Montrose will say against us. You know, they can only beat Fitzpatrick in front of you at a lackluster Peterhead. But I think we've just got to be cautious and they get in the mindset of looking at just like draws would be enough, because as we said, everybody can beat everybody in this division. It's going to be tight, and you're going to be battling against teams like Sir Dumbarton and Clyde away from home. Now, Clyde were 2-0 down to Montrose. They got Manson off and still got something for the game. So even thinking they're playing well, you need to try and get something for the game. Like I said, if we'd gotten a point against Montrose, we'd have been lucky. But we need to use that against Airdrie and, you know, get a positive result. And then you go from potentially having 1-4. If you beat Airdrie, you've got 6 points for your opening 4 games. And it's not as bad. It's just getting things in perspective. But I think our sights should be set higher because we've got a good team.
Yeah, so let's get on to the start of this game then. Airdrie, as we said, it's against a team who's not got off to the best of starts either. They've got 2 losses and 1 draw. excuse me, the draw was against Dumbarton when they were 2-0 up and cruising as well. So it's not the best of starts for Ian Murray's team.
No, he seems to be coming under a wee bit of pressure as well. I think Airdrie would certainly have fancied a chance of being in that conversation for promotion, maybe even automatically as well. I think they'll be up there with Falkirk, or they feel they should be. And again, it's maybe a wee bit of the pressure creeping in. We've seen it from David McCracken with Falkirk. They came up in April last year, last season. They didn't play well. We got a really good result against the odds. So I think Airdrie, whilst it'll be a tough game, I certainly think it's one of them, if you start the game well with the tempo that we had against Alloa, we should certainly think we'll get something from it.
Yeah, and they've just got the 3 goals as well in those 3 games. So, again, it's what you're saying about the defence. If we can keep that relatively tight and keep the likes of Gabby McGill quiet, you know, it should build a base for getting someone out of the game, and then hopefully at the other end, likes of Russell McLean and Nia Payne can provide the goals.
Yeah, and like I said, you've got Hamish Ridge on form, you've got Lyle Cameron, Scott Brown. You know, like I said, we've got a good team, and we should be disappointed with results that Lightwed against Montrose in performance. But like I said, we've got to use that to be positive against Airdrie, and if we can go off to a good start, you know, early goal as well would just be massive, but especially with the crowd as well. You know, we're anticipating a really, really good crowd first game back with the restrictions easing properly. You get a good crowd and get and go 1-0 up. Airdrie really want to fancy it in the form that they're in. And, you know, pressure will just start to show maybe with Ian Murray and his team. So, like I said, if we get a positive start, a good early goal as well, then I certainly think we can get a good result for the game.
Yeah, and we shouldn't have just kind of dismissed them straight away. I mean, they've still got a decent squad as well. Like I said, Max Curry, Rico Katongo, Scott Agnew, Miguel, as I mentioned, Callum Gallagher's there as well. So it's a decent squad. So we'll have to be at our best to get anything out of it. But I think, as we said, with the week recovery from the three games in a week, they'll all have realised that they didn't perform last weekend, so it's a chance for them to put in a performance.
I think that, like I said a few minutes ago, I think Airdrie should be in that conversation for not just playoffs but automatic promotion. You know, on paper they've got a really, really good squad, and they might look at Peterhead's result against Montrose and their performance and think, you know, that could kickstart their season. So I know we're only in game four, but I think it's a crucial result, a crucial game, sorry, for both teams. If Airdrie want to have aspects of going up and we want to bide up and, you know, be comfortable mid-table, you know, I think this is an important game.
Yeah, it was one win apiece in the two games last season. If you remember the last game when Airdrie got a man sent off after, like, what, 2 minutes or something like that? It was on loan from Dunfermline, so it was a memorable debut for him. But the season before, obviously, prior to COVID, it was the three games, every one all three. So yeah, it will be tough. We keep saying every team in this league is going to be difficult to play, but I think for us to start our season, we really need to put the pressure on Airdrie early and try and not only win the game, but put on a good show.
Aye, I think if we can, like we've just said, if we can keep it tight at the back and you hopefully get Russell McLean and Nia Payne being at a pest up top, and you've got likes of Hamish Ritchie and Lyle Cameron, you know, interchanging and linking up well. I think we've got a good attacking team. It just maybe hasn't clicked in the last few weeks for whatever reason. But as you said, they've got the training this week. They've got the week off as such with the midweek game. And it might just be that performance. You know, we might look back at it a couple of times ago, the Montrose performance, whilst it was poor on the day, has really, you know, galvanised everything and just gotten us back on track. Or it could go negatively and it could start a bad run. But on the positive side, it's I think we've got to go into the Airdrie game, as I said. Good start, bright start. But even if we didn't score early on, as long as we've got that attacking intent and you get the crowd behind us, straight Airdrie, get the pressure on them, we should be okay.
As Jim said as well, as a lot of the big players didn't perform. Now, in the Alloa game, you know, Russell McLean and Nia Payne, they played well and we got the win. Against Montrose, nobody really performed to their best. So, for everybody to have an off game, it's not going to happen very often. But we are still waiting for the likes of Hamish Ritchie and Lyle Cameron just to kind of perform to the levels that they were last season. And maybe this is the kind of game that will signify their start of the season as well.
Yeah, it's difficult because Hamish was so good last season. That's not to say that he's had a poor start. He's just been quieter than he maybe has been. Lyle Cameron, you could argue, lack of game time over the last couple of months, but Dundee hasn't really helped his development. But as I said, get the team together this week over training, and, you know, come up on Saturday with a positive mindset, then I do think we can get something for the game.
More importantly, as you said, Martin, that the fans will be back almost to the point where the restrictions are completely lifted. I know there's still a lot of restrictions in terms of the away section, but in terms of the home fans, all the restrictions have been lifted. I think there was quite a few kind of comments and conversations on the Bearhead Facebook about their season tickets reverting back to their normal seats, etc. So it'll be great to see a good crowd. I wouldn't expect it to be a full house, obviously, but I would love to see a good 600, 700, 800 into that stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, we were fortunate last year through COVID to be able to get in, and it just wasn't the same. We've said that before. And it was good to get the 246 folk in over the last couple of weeks. But I think there's first home game with no restrictions. I just think it's got something special. I think the players might have a point to prove after last week as well. People coming back into stadiums, it would be even better if we've got a nice day of weather as well. Maybe get a few more folk out. That's maybe asking a little bit too much to get good weather up at Balmoor. Just no wind would be fine. But yeah, get a good crowd in, and it's been sorely missed, not only for the club's point of view, but I think fans as well. It's not quite the same as listening to us yabbering on a stream as it is in real life.
I think the players will have missed it as well, and I think the players will genuinely like to see as many folk back into that through that turnstiles again as well. And I think that's where this game might just kind of spark our season a little bit, you know, getting all that folk back in, hearing the folk banging on the boards behind the goals and things like that. Just little things like that they've kind of missed, and you just think, well, that's going to sway it our way. And I think the players will rise to that as well.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember if it was Gary or Scott said to us through one of the commentary that, you know, they were delighted that fans were coming in, even if it was a small number, that it makes a big difference. And it'll be good to have a lot of supporters in, and even better that Ian Murray's got to be in opposition dugout as well.
Yep, so if you're listening to this, get yourself down there. It'll be great to see as many folk as we can. Not just for us, but just for the club as well, just to get as many folk to come in through as well. Whether or not we get a good day out weather, I don't know. Unfortunately, I've got no control over that, but whatever you're doing, just get yourself out to Balmoor.
Yeah, the pie hunt's open as well, so I mean, if America could you ask for.
Of course, the most important thing. Right then, so that'll do us for this weekend. Hope you've enjoyed it again. As always, my thanks to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.